This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening, you're with Lynn and Kelvin, and it's time again for another edition of Popek Popek Parliament. Aiman Rashad joins us in the studio. Aiman, what have you got for us today?
Well, I'll start with what happened outside Parliament, because there was a very small and specific protest organised by these students from the Malaysia-Japan International Institute of Technology, or I'll call them MJIT, which is a private faculty under UTM. So they were outside the Parliament, gathered outside to organise some kind of mini flash mob.
I'm going to stop you there, because mob and a handful of students don't exactly go hand in hand. So there were, do we mean five?
Yeah, around five or six students. It's like a flash group, I guess.
Okay, right, got it.
So they had a mini flash group outside the Parliament, and one of them had a hand-painted banner that read, Mahasiswa Mengemis Mazli Tidur, which refers to the Education Minister Mazli Malik. So we got a comment from Sharon, which is a member of the youth wing of Parti Socialist Malaysia. And he was there to speak on behalf of the students. And he explained what was their issue with the minister.
This particular faculty student, for the past 3 years, instead of being charging about 500 a month, they've been charged close to 5,000, which is equivalent to a private university fees, claiming that MJIT has a special place and so on. But most of the students, before they entered to UTM, they were not aware of this offer. When they came in, they were caught off guard. So this is a major issue. So for what past 3 years, they have been asking the ministry's help. And now under the new Pakatan rule, they have been trying to attempt to speak to Mazli a few times regarding the issue. They brought to their special PAs and so on. But they have been losing them in bureaucracy, meeting, taking to this department, that department. And when one of our students went engaged with the minister, every time he says, talk to my staff. So he never really put special interest to talk about these students. So we got very fed up. So we're trying to highlight them, saying that the students are being very bad. Some of their parents have went to the extent of, you know, like, menggadaikan emas to sell off their land just to pay for their fees, because this special MJIT fees is not paid by PTPT, and so they're forking out of their hand. And these students during holidays are forced to work, during campus time also are forced to work just to meet their ends meet. And we're asking the minister to get involved to remove these MJIT fees and make sure the students get back the fees that they have paid so far. So this has been our permanent demand, but yet there's been no response from Mazli. So we're doing a flash mob here, parodying that Mazli is sleeping while the students are forced to beg.
Yeah, so as he described, outside the Parliament, there was a guy in a suit with a Mazli mask pretending to take a nap in a sleeping bag, and around him were three students who were crouched and eating nasi lemak and looking very sad and begging for money. So and they were actually eating. They weren't pretend eating. They were actually eating nasi lemak. And yeah, so there's a lot of frustration on their side about this surprise tuition fees that they thought was this much, but it was actually 5,000 a semester. And
that's really understandable, because, I mean, that's a difference of an entire zero. We're talking about the difference between 500 and 5,000, and per semester, that's a lot. I mean, I understand the frustration.
Yes, it's a large jump. And apparently, based on a media statement that they distributed, it wasn't made clear how much the fees were when they were applying through UPU, which is an online system to apply for public universities.
I find it interesting that at this point in time, we keep running into news to do with members of the ministry and students and plays. Increasingly, it appears that the way to reach the government is through art. Who knew that that would be the case?
I mean, I just very much appreciate the drama and the creativity of this play. If Mazli Malik in a sleeping bag, who could have thought?
Yes, that's right. The ingenuity of it all. So that was what happened outside Parliament. What happened inside Dewan Rakyat today?
Inside the Dewan Rakyat, they were talking about the government's plan to take over four toll concessionaires, which is the LDP, the Sprint, Kersas and Smart, which the government announced in June. So there were concerns about what does this mean for the people, what it entails, how is it going to be paid for? And the answers were complex, but basically the gist of it is that it's part of the government's efforts to fulfill their promise to reduce and eventually remove the toll charges altogether. But some critics say that this is a bad deal. For example, Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Kasiong, who is the MCA president, he raised a number of questions about how it will benefit the people and who will pay for the 6.2 billion ringgit acquisition. And he was also not satisfied with the answers given by Lim Guan Eng, the finance minister.
Saya terkilan dengan jawapan yang saya terima daripada Menteri Kewangan. Yang saya bertanya, bagaimana ianya membantu rakyat setelah kita mengambil alih lebuh raya tersebut. Tapi jawapan yang diberikan, seperti mana yang kita sedia maklum, dia kata kerajaan menawarkan 6.2 bilion ringgit kepada syarikat konsesi untuk mengambil alih 4 lebuh raya ini. Dan caranya ialah melalui terbitan bond. Soalannya, terbitan bond tu tetap kena bayar. Siapa tanggung? Rakyat juga tanggung.
Wee Ka Siong also asked, why not just wait for the concessions to expire instead of just buying them out?
So those kind of sound like valid questions. Was there any sort of clarification offered?
Yes, there was clarification offered by the finance minister, who was a little bit exasperated when he was giving his comments. He explained that between the four highways, it will take about 9 to 23 years before these concessions expire. And the idea on behalf of the government is that they want the public to be able to enjoy the cheaper rate sooner rather than later.
Saya telah sebut di parlimen, tapi mungkin itu ahli pembangkang sengaja tak faham, bahawa sekiranya kita tunggu sampai itu tempoh konsesi tamat dan baru masa itu benarkan itu kadar tu turun kepada kadar rendah kerana hanya membabitkan kos operasi dan penyelenggaraan. Mengapa kita nak nafikan pengguna lebuh raya faedah pengurangan kadar tol atau caj kesesakan sekarang? Kita nak mereka nikmati sekarang. Itu sebabnya kita buat cadangan ini di mana sekiranya diluluskan oleh Kabinet, maka tahun depan semua pengguna empat lebuh raya ini, mereka boleh menikmati kadar tol yang lebih rendah. Iaitu untuk waktu puncak, kadar tol sekarang tidak akan naik sepanjang tempoh konsesi. Di luar puncak, turun sampai 30%. Waktu bukan puncak, percuma. So, kita nak berikan mereka faedah sekarang.
Lim Guan Eng also added that the government will not be spending a single cent to finance the deal, according to him. Because when they issue the bond, the debt will be paid by the money that they collect when they become the owners of the highway. So, it's supposed to be a win-win-win situation for everybody.
Bila kita gunakan formula ini, kutipan daripada caj kesesakan mencukupi untuk menampung pembayaran hutang sebanyak 6.2 bilion ringgit ini. Dan pada masa yang sama, kerajaan tidak perlu bayar kos pampasan kerana kita nak bekukan kenaikan tol. So untuk 4 lebuh raya ini, kita akan terpaksa bayar pampasan sekurang-kurangnya 5.3 bilion ringgit. Pengguna dia jimat dengan bayar kurang tol, penjimatan sebanyak 180 juta ringgit setiap tahun. Untuk tempoh konsesi di antara 9 ke 23 tahun, mereka akan jimat 2 bilion ringgit. Bermakna kerajaan dan pengguna akan jimat 7.3 bilion ringgit sekurang-kurangnya. Dan yang lagi penting sekali, kerajaan tak perlu keluarkan wang kerana bayaran atau kutipan caj kesesakan memadai untuk membayar penerbitan bond 6.2 bilion ringgit. Itu yang saya sebut, ini adalah satu formula yang menguntungkan semua pihak. Sama ada syarikat konsesi, pengguna dan juga pihak kerajaan. Baru kita boleh capai satu kata sepakat.
So of course, in the manifesto, the promise was to abolish tolls altogether. Did Guan Eng say whether this is actually going to happen?
About that, he didn't give a firm yes, but he did say that it is something that they are hoping to do in the future.
Kita tengok keadaan. Kalau kerajaan mampu, I mean, it's only this operational cost. Then at that time, we can then say that there will be no toll. Because you talk about maintenance, you talk about repair, but that one is minimal compared to the financing and also the construction cost. Because I cannot be speaking what is going to happen 9 years from now or 23 years from now. Our intention is that by that time, if we are still around, we think that the government's finances will be improved and we should be able to abolish toll then. So that we can then bear the cost of the operational and also repairs. Perbezaannya ialah kerana unsur keuntungan. Kerana ini unsur keuntungan, itu sebab syarikat swasta buat pelaburan. Tapi kerajaan buat, kerajaan tak mahu untung. Kerana ini dianggap sebagai public good. Ini ialah untuk rakyat. Kerana ini untuk rakyat, kita keluarkan unsur keuntungan. Itu sebab kita boleh kurangkan kadar tol, iaitu kita namakan sebagai caj kesesakan, sampai 30% untuk waktu luar puncak. Waktu bukan puncak, percuma. Waktu puncak kita akan kekalkan pada kadar sekarang selama-lamanya. So itu perbezaan. Rate of return dia kosong. Tapi kita kerajaan, kita bukan nak untung. Kita nak memanfaatkan rakyat.
That was Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng clarifying some of the details around the possible government takeover of four highways.
And I think, Ayman, earlier you used the word kind of exasperated to describe Lim Guan Eng in that. I mean, we just heard from him across three separate clips and moments, and that's the word. He definitely
sounded slightly offended.
Yeah, a little bit. Talk to us. Do you think that the government taking over these highways, is that a good idea? Are you looking forward to the days when we will just have to pay congestion charges and not tolls anymore? And also, speaking of the manifesto, we're going to be discussing the government's fixation on that and keeping their promises later on in the show. So do send us your thoughts. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yes. So moving on to the next story. Do you guys remember the Bada Squad from Kedah?
How could one forget? I mean, they were very memorably dragging people out to graveyards. So for people who have managed to wipe this out of their memory, they were the anti-vice vigilante group who have been conducting, or who were conducting, these completely unsanctioned Khalwat raids.
And the context for that graveyard thing, they would take those allegedly committing Khalwat to the cemetery to conduct counselling sessions.
Yeah, so this group, a couple of days ago, their chairperson, Azhar Muhammad, said that they are open to meet with Dr. Mujahid Yusof Rawa, who is the Religious Affairs Minister, to get guidance on their activities, which I must add is illegal because they don't actually have the necessary search warrants to enter premises and to conduct the checks because they are a private group and they don't have these warrants.
So they're just essentially a flash mob, lah.
They're a flash mob that are offering themselves up to meet a minister. It's just a very strange thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just very strange. So today, Mujahid said that there's technically no reason for them to meet him.
Kuasa penguatkuasaan agama terletak di negeri. Saya ni jaga federal. Jadi kalau squad badan ni, saya rasa dia ni di Kedah. Dia kena jumpa orang Kedah lah. Jadi dia uruslah apa saja masalah dengan orang Kedah. Dengan kami, kami tidak tidak ada squad badan dan sebagainya. Kita menghormati penguatkuasaan itu hanya datang daripada penguatkuasaan agama supaya tidak berlaku, kita kata, pecanggahan.
Mujahid also commented on a posting on Facebook that went viral recently, which is of an Iranian delegation that visited parliament. So after that post went viral, anti-Shia groups were up in arms, saying that Shias had infiltrated parliament. And this is his comments regarding that.
I think kalau ada orang Shiah masuk parlimen nak melawat, apa masalah? Duta Iran berapa kali datang. Kalau gini, Duta Iran melawat istana untuk mengunjungi raja, maka maknanya Syiah telah masuk istana. Itu saya rasa that is not the point lah. Apa salah kalau dia orang datang parlimen? Itu tidak menjadikan kita Syiah hanya kerana ada orang Syiah.
Oh, bless. That is not the point lah. I love that. That was Religious Affairs Minister Dr. Mujahid Yusof Rawa. We've been talking today about kind of a bonkers day in Parliament. A lot happened.
Yes, very eventful day in Parliament.
Two separate flash mobs wanting to meet two separate ministers.
Pretty much. So from the mini protest against our education minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, to Shias infiltrating Parliament and the Istana, there's a lot to cover. But we want to hear from you about the tolls specifically, and about whether or not you still care that Pakatan is, whether or not the manifesto is still a good gauge, I suppose, of how much or how little the government is managing to do. We would like to hear from you on that. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Jason says, on the tolls, it's a great idea for the government to take over the tolls. I hope the SPV involved will be clean and transparent. Do you agree? Do you not? Send that through. In the meantime, Ayman, thank you so much for those updates.
You're welcome.
After this, we're going to be hearing the latest updates from Pasir Gudang. Sean Tanis of the News Desk will be joining us. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.